Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Well, not here. Brad is here, filling in for me and doing a damn good job. Yes,
well, thanks,
I'll be
Mike.
Back June 29th. Play nice while I'm gone. Keep it lit.
Don't play so nice, but do keep it lit. Brad in for Malloy all week long. Live from Los Angeles, California, K-Talk AM 1150. Thank you for letting us broadcast out of here. Give us a call if you'd like to talk to Sybil Edmonds, the FBI whistleblower, FBI translator, turned whistleblower, co-founder, boy oh boy, Brad, get it together, founder and director of the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, who has been gagged for years by the Bush administration, and, well, now she's talking. If you want to know what she has to say, give us a call, 877-520-1150. Sybil, the lines have filled up here. You want to try to fly through a whole bunch of calls?
Oh, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. You want the toughest ones first? Let's go to Christine in Los Angeles. Welcome to the Malloy Show. You got a question for Sybil, Christine.
Hey, Brad, it's Christine from KPFK. I wanted to say I couldn't think of a better substitute teacher for Malloy than you.
Bless you, Christine, and good to hear from you. Thank you, dear.
Yes, the question I had for this brave, brave woman, because she is, knowing that the head of the ISI had, I believe, wired Mohammed Atta $100,000, and knowing the criminals that we have in the Bush-Cheney administration, and many Americans questioning 9/11, I got to ask the question to Sybil. What are her thoughts on 9/11 possibly being an inside job?
Thank you, Christine. I won't tell your bosses that you're listening to K-Talk instead of your own station. Thanks, Christine.
Thank you.
All right. All right, Sybil, that's the question that comes up for me the most, of course. 9/11 was an inside job. What do you think?
Well, as I have done for the past 7-8 years, I have basically stuck with what I know firsthand directly. My own knowledge, based on my own experience, based on what I obtained, which is not a lot, but it's extremely important. And to answer a question and say, was it an inside job? It would be, first of all, it would be preposterous for me to make that call. But what I can tell you is, based on what we know already, and these are the confirmed cases, you know, you're going to have Colleen Rowley on your show.
Yes,
well,
she's coming up tomorrow.
Exactly. Well, you look at her and her case, and then you look at the Phoenix memo with the other FBI agent in Phoenix office, the Phoenix field office. And then you look at the FBI agent Wright in Chicago, and you look at that case. And then I don't know if you read James Bamford's latest book, What We Obtained from Yemen, NSA obtained before September 11, because we were following two of these hijackers in are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. In Yemen. Well, you put all these things, all this information that have, you know, all this information that have come from various agencies in one place, and you look at it and you say, wow, you know, it's very easy to write off things when you have one or two slip-offs and, you know, attribute certain things to bureaucratic bunglings. But it goes beyond that. Now, what is that? Again, as I said, I won't be able to answer that question. But what I can answer is, yeah, we had this 9/11 commission that was formed. And first, we had Henry Kissinger appointed to be the chairman of it.
Right.
It tells you what they had in mind, what kind of commission they had in mind, which was going to be cosmetic. It was pretty obvious. Then we had the final commission with a bunch of people with conflict of interest, and we didn't get anything. As you see, people have been gagged. A lot of things have been classified, and you would think, well, why people would go so far to cover up bureaucratic bungling? Again, that doesn't mean, hey, this was an inside job. But what it tells you is there are a lot of things that we don't know. There are a lot of things that they, the government, our government, established, but they don't want us to know. I mean, the recent thing just came out a few days ago with the case against Saudi Arabia with the 9/11 family members. Well, today or yesterday, it made it to the front page of the New York Times with Eric Wishbaugh. Okay, so now the government, our government, the Justice Department under Obama is going and saying, no, you can't, and you can't get this information because you want to protect Saudi Arabia. Well, protect against what? So those are the questions that have not been answered, and those questions that have been answered, nothing has been done about it, and no explanation has been, you know, have been given to us. So we have all these issues, and there is no simple answer. But one simple answer is, yes, we are facing a lot of cover-up.
And so,
I want to know why, and I'm sure you want to know why, too.
Nah, I don't really care. let me get to, well, actually, so it's fair to say in your case, then, that you don't have necessarily information that you haven't been able to disclose that reveals that 9/11 was an inside job. You just have, like I do, concerns about the information that we have, the bad information that we have, and why,
yeah,
you know, all these unanswered questions.
Yeah, I have to step in here and say, I have information about things that our government has lied to our people, to us, not to me, because I know. For example, to say that, all right, since the fall of the Soviet Union, we ceased all our relationship, intimate relationship with bin Laden and Taliban, and those things can be proven as lies very easily based on the information they classified in my case, because we did carry very intimate relationship with these people, and it involved Central Asia, and all the way up to September 11. I know you're going to say, oh my God, there were this, you know, we went there and we bombed the medical factory in 1990s during Clinton. We declared the most wanted. And what I'm telling you is, with those groups, we had operations in Central Asia, and that relationship, using them as we did during the Afghan and Soviet conflict, we used them all the way until September 11th.
What are you able to speak about in more detail on that material that was classified?
People have written about it based on the interviews conducted and based on other people talking about it. So you know what? It's not very difficult to put the two and two together in this. There's so much information that, of course, our mainstream media has not reported, but there have been some good books written on the topic, and that is what we have been doing, what we were doing in those years, all the way until that day of September 11th in Central Asia, in what they call as East Turkestan,
right.
Where we're talking about the Uyghurs, and with bin Laden, and via Turkey, and these are the Turkish actors, because Central Asian countries, they're Turkic-speaking, you know, they have the same heritage as the Republic of Turkey, so they share the same language, the same culture, and we, as a country, United States, use Turkey, along with actors from Pakistan and in Afghanistan and Saudi Arabia to carry out a lot of operations. Russians have talked about it because they have been screaming about it. Again, it hasn't. Those things have not been reported. But what we have on this, they have been classified. They've been using sensitive diplomatic relations, protecting Turkey, protecting Israel, protecting Pakistan, protecting Saudi Arabia. Well, that does not say, okay, 9/11 was an inside job, but that tells people, would tell people, the information they have gathered, they have classified, a lot of things that will bring us maybe closer to the answer and why we have been lying about it, why our government has been lying about it.
All right, don't be so engaging or I'll never get through all these callers. And don't badmouth Turkey. I got word from a Turkish lobbyist today, a guy, Dennis Hastert, who said they're great, so don't beat up on them. Let me get to Patty in North Dakota. Rame, North Dakota, Patty?
Yes, it's called Rame.
All right. Well, welcome. What's your question for Sabelle Edmonds?
Well, I think you are a wonderful, wonderful heroine. Now, how do we help you, Sabelle?
Well, thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
I'm
you
honored. Well, I don't have a case. I did need lots of help, and thanks to our mainstream media, we didn't get it. I had the ACLU fighting, right, with me and taking this case all the way to the Supreme Court. And back then, I really needed backing from the people with action to demand demand the justice, the accountability in this case. And then I started this campaign to trying to get the Congress to have hearing, because they have the authority, they have the power, they have it's their duty. They've been entrusted with the oversight.
I called back then.
Right, and they had not done it, and they didn't do it. So that case is closed. So there is nothing really that I'm asking people to do for me. I don't have a case. That case has been over. It's been several years. It's been 3 years. And we have so many other important cases that nothing has been done about it. We have 2,000 pictures depicting atrocious torture committed with our tax money and sanctioned by our representative. Therefore, we are the ones who have committed that crime through our representatives who speak for us. And with our tax money, we have NSA illegal wiretapping that has been established. You know, people know about it.
Nothing
has been done about it. So there are a lot of issues to do things about.
I got to get to a break. Thanks for that
call,
Patty. I appreciate it. There's a lot of stuff to be done, and the people have been making noise, and it is troubling that we, don't seem to be getting these folks to pay attention and to take some action. Sibel Edmonds is sticking with us. We're going to try to get through a bunch of calls in this next segment. It will be short. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Oh, stop by bradblog.com where we are chatting in the chat room. The blog item right at the top. Hit comments. Come on in. Say hello. More with Sibel right after this.
And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife.
All right, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy all this week, speaking with Sibel Edmonds, FBI translator, former FBI translator and whistleblower, taking your calls. Sibel, we didn't even get to ask you about Iran, and you were born in Iran, or your father was born in Iran?
No, my father was half Iranian. I was born in Iran, even though I was not given the citizenship at the time because we were the citizen of Turkey. And my father was there to open the first burn center hospital in Iran. He was a surgeon. And so I lived there for the first about 3 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went back to Turkey. And when I was seven, we had the anarchy period in Turkey.
Right.
And they asked my father to establish another big hospital. So we went back, and this time we were in Tehran.
And we have, actually, I could go into details and keep you on all night, but we're going to come to the bottom
right.
of the hour.
I have lived in both countries. I'm from Turkey. My father was half Iranian, and I have lived in Turkey, Azerbaijan, and Iran in three countries.
And you want to give us, are you able to give us a thought on what's going on in Iran in about 10 or 15 seconds so we can hit a bunch of calls before you have to go at the bottom of the hour?
Oh, I will, well, instead of then trying to limit it to 10, 15 seconds, I will just ask people to try to separate the facts from what we are being presented with. And that is, there are two sides to each, in each story. And now we are hearing about violence against the protesters. I'm in touch with a lot of Iranian people in Iran, people who are even protesting, and the Iranian community here in the United States. And a lot of it is actually happening from the protesters. They have been smashing cars. So there are a lot of things happening. There are a lot of agendas out there. And this is a great thing for the progressives and the protesters in Iran, but on the other hand, it is going to be it's going to be exploited. And don't let the certain people with agendas, the establishment, exploit this, and don't make it very easy and possible for them, which we have been doing, not only through the mainstream media, but unfortunately out there within the blogosphere, certain people have been catalyst to what the establishment has been seeking for a long time on Iran.
Don't blame me, Sibel. Let's go to Larry from Phoenix. Welcome to the show, Larry.
Oh, thank you.
Very quickly, too, because we got to get to the bottom of the hour. Quick.
Okay. I don't think she's surprised anymore that editors would sit on stories, because that's an integral part of all the organized crime we have in the United States, and people like the Bush family seem to be at the bottom of all of it, but especially all the domestic trade and the opium and the cocaine and the methamphetamine.
Fair enough. You have a question, Sibel?
Has she read anything like about Michael Levine and
Oh, yeah. Michael Levine, let me answer this
very quickly.
Michael Levine is a member of my organization, National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. I have about more than, actually, 150 National Security Whistleblowers from DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency, FBI, CIA, NSA. I have been on Mike Levine's show. In fact, the first sample case that Brad and I reported was regarding Michael Levine in 1980s and how the Newsweek magazine and the two reporters there got the story. They at least received it, but they didn't follow up, even though it was a huge story, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for Mike, and that's a solid story, and you can go to my website and read it.
Which is 123realchange.blogspot.com, and Sabella's been cross-posting over at bradblog.com. Check out, search Project Expose MSM. Let me see if I can get in one more quick call. Phil in Central Florida, give us a 15-second question, sir.
Oh, yes. Thank you both. And I just wanted to say that, you know, the military-industrial complex, the media and all that, the powers that be, Bob McElvain of 9/11 Families for Peaceful Tomorrows said this 9/11 is the powers that be Achilles' heel. They got too greedy. And I just want to share some hope that we've got this alternative media. We've got DVDs, blogs, internets, and we could beat these guys. We can take them down. And, you know, not to debate 9/11, but if you have one working eyeball and two brain cells to rub together and you look into it, you know, the answers will be there.
Thanks, Phil. Thank you so much. You bet. Thank you, Phil. Sorry, Sabelle, any last thoughts here before we have to check out commercial radio? You know how that goes.
Well, the whole thing is, knowledge, knowing about stuff, putting the information out is one step. And I'm not talking about 9/11. I'm talking about all these issues, whether it's the torture, whether it's the NSA illegal wiretapping, or the state secrets privilege. And we have the internet. We have a great tool, and a lot of people know. The biggest problem we are facing is a lack of action, and not being able to channel this, translate it into action. You can sit down and talk and scream on the blogs. You know, we can put all this information and mass email people, but if we can't at some point translate it into real action, go out there, do something, it's not going to worth anything. It's not going to mean anything.
Sabelle Edmonds.
We have respect for the Iranian protesters.
Sabelle Edmonds, 123realchange.blogspot.com. Back with David Edmonds, David Swanson right after this. Thanks, Sabelle.
Thank you.
Mike Malloy here, interrupting Brad Friedman's most excellent program. Wait, it's my program, and Brad is filling in. Uh-oh, but he's so good at this. Hey, I'll be back June 29th, and not a moment too soon.
Not a moment too soon. What the... Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. We've got a discussion going on in the chat room. We welcome your thoughts there. The lovely and rascible Agent 99 is your host there. So stop on by. Give us your thoughts. And if you have any calls this hour for David Swanson, peace activist, and where's my, I'll find it here, concerning Torture Accountability Day. Did you know tomorrow was Torture Accountability Day? Of course you did. You saw it all over CNN and MSNBC and Fox News particularly. They've been putting out the word. Why, first they were talking to us about the teabagging, and now they're talking to us about torture accountability, right? And not so much. My next guest is David Swanson, co-founder of After Downing Street, Washington director of Democrats.com, board member of Progressive Democrats of America, Voters for Peace, and Backbone Campaign, author of the forthcoming book, Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. And by the way, I should add, before I bring David, if you disagree with me, with him, with anybody you hear on this show, no, we don't do what Hannity does. We don't leave out people who disagree. We'd love to hear from you. Wingnuts, bring it on. David Swanson, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. Whoop. There we go. I'll figure this out by the end of the week. David, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thanks.
How are you doing, sir?
Good to hear you. I'm doing fine.
All right. Well, let's see. Torture Accountability Day. What? When? I didn't notice it on CNN. What happened? I don't understand. When is that?
We're working with Fox on this one. So thank goodness that there are decent radio shows and websites, because a lot of people do know about it with
good.
No thanks to the so-called mainstream media, which never does a bit of good. But this is something that's been put together by dozens of human rights groups and peace groups and people that you're familiar with, from PDA to Code Pink to Amnesty International to Peace Action to The World Can't Wait to
my organization, Velvet Revolution.
Velvet Revolution,
that's right.
Voters for Peace, et cetera, et cetera. Endless list. In fact, you can go to you can go to accountabilityfortorture.com, where the four is a numeral four,
right.
accountabilityfortorture.com, and find the whole list of who's involved. And we have events in major cities all over the country tomorrow, Thursday, June 25th, and I will be at one in Washington, D.C. that ought to be pretty exciting.
Which meets at John Marshall Park at 11 a.m., and you'll be marching to the Justice Department. There's also events in San Francisco, Pasadena, Thousand Oaks, California, Boston, Salt Lake City, good, Seattle, Portland, Las Vegas, Honolulu. Check out accountabilityfortorture.com. All right, why do we need accountability for torture, David Swanson? My understanding was we were supposed to look forward, not back. That's what Barack Obama told us.
Yeah, that's what I told the cops last night, and they wouldn't listen to me. the thing is, you know, if our federal government treated torture the way they treat us in planning these demonstrations, us not being the good protesters who exist only in Iran, we'd be fine. I mean, we had a proposal to demonstrate waterboarding with volunteers in John Marshall Park in Washington, D.C.,
right.
And we're told we would be prosecuted for torture if we did such
what?
A thing. Now, we are
Wait, hang on a second. They really told you that you can't do a waterboarding demonstration because you'll be prosecuted? For it?
Yes. If you know, we've been lobbying the Justice Department all these months to even consider enforcing our laws against torture, which, by the way, is illegal. Little did we know that the Department of the Interior, the Park Service, has got its act together, and we should have been over there all this time demanding justice. Instead, we have reports every week, if not every day, that torture is ongoing, that there is torture in Bagram, in Guantanamo, in Iraq, and elsewhere. And we're told over and over again that the official policy is not to torture. You know, we're soon going to have this report from the president's task force on how to do interrogations. Spencer Ackerman was blogging about this today, that is going to really walk a fine line between actually obeying laws and torturing. And
you're talking about a new report on how to do
how to do interrogations. Remember when he first came into office, the president said, "We don't torture," and
right.
I mean it, unlike the last guy who said, "We don't torture," and I
right.
mean it. And he created a task force to decide how we would interrogate people.
Right.
So apparently we are going to have new interrogation teams led by the FBI, assisted by the CIA, that are going to do everything except torture. But they are going to distinguish between how they treat those people that they might want to someday prosecute and how they interrogate those people who they're just going to hold forever outside of any rule of law and not prosecute, because they can be interrogated differently. Not that we're going to torture them, but they can be interrogated differently. Read into that what you want. The fact is that torture is ongoing, and it will continue to be ongoing as long as it's a policy choice and not a crime. I mean, this is the horrendous thing. You know, you can credit Cheney and Bush and the gang that's gone, some of them are still around, with the torture. But the outrage now is having turned torture from a crime into a policy choice. And that's all Barack Obama.
What is it we are asking for, then, in this accountability, in asking for accountability? What are you asking for, David Swanson? Do you want to see these guys prosecuted here in the U.S. for war crimes? Do you want to see them brought up under the Geneva Convention at The Hague? What are you asking for in asking for accountability here?
Well, there are halfway measures, right? And there are groups tomorrow in San Francisco and Pasadena and elsewhere in the Ninth Circuit that are going to be filing formal complaints with the Ninth Circuit against Jay Bybee, chief torture lawyer at the Justice Department, now federal judge in the Ninth Circuit. And you can go to After Downing Street and other sites, and there's a link to file your own formal complaint against Jay Bybee. Everybody should. It's not that hard. But in Washington in particular, we are going to be marching to the Justice Department to ask Attorney General Eric Holder to appoint a special prosecutor for torture. And we encourage everybody, and we've got the links and the numbers, to call Eric Holder on Thursday, fax him, email him, and ask him to appoint a special prosecutor. I mean, this is simply to consider the possibility of enforcing the law, because there's no dispute anymore that it happens, that torture has gone on. The question is simply whether we will prosecute it, treat it as a crime, rather than a policy that we choose to engage in, or we choose to engage in certain ways or not. And this is a demand that we've been making for many months. As I said, maybe we should have been at the Department of the Interior, but we're going back one more time to the Department of Justice to make this demand.
And it seems that we're being, and by the way, you can give us a call, 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. It seems we've developed an allergy in this country, David, to investigating things that actually matter. Because when we're talking about a special prosecutor or an investigation over torture, when we were talking about it back in the Bush administration concerning impeachment, these are investigations. These are not necessarily prosecutions. If, in fact, what Bush did was not torture, if it was, in fact, perfectly legal, then, in truth, there's really nothing to fear, is there, from a from an investigation? They'll look into it. They'll find there was no laws were broken here, nothing to worry about, or as with the impeachment trial, nothing impeachable. They'll throw it out. No worries. Why are we so afraid of investigating and finding out the truth one way or another?
Well, we aren't. As you know, there were polls all during the Bush-Cheney nightmare that a majority of Americans favored investigations and favored impeachments, and these were polls without impeachment being even talked about, even made remotely respectable, so that we would have had overwhelming majorities if something had been happening. And there are polls now that a majority of Americans want accountability for these crimes. But the majority of Americans are not in power, and to their discredit, the majority of Americans do not get in the streets and put their bodies at risk the way Iranians and every other population of the planet does when need be. We sit on our couches. And so there are going to be thousands of Americans saying we won't be good Americans tomorrow and getting in the streets. And we need more of that. But, we as I know you understand, we can't attribute the allergy of those in power and those in the corporate media to the Americans without checking to see where the Americans really are. We actually would love to see accountability for these crimes, but Barack Obama wouldn't, and the Attorney General is no longer a servant of the law. He is a servant of the President, or the Emperor, as we might more fittingly call it now. That's the holdup.
And, the country has changed so much that, we can't hit the streets. We got to get to work. We got both moms and dads when we have them. They're both out there working. Their health care is usually reliant on their jobs. They can't hit the streets and protest the way they do in Iran. And then when they do protest, as we saw before the Iraq War and the lead up to those wars, the biggest protests ever, but they weren't covered in the media, so they didn't exist. We're speaking with David Swanson. We're going to take your calls when we come back here, 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy. Stop by during the break here. Go to accountabilityfortorture.com. That's the number four, accountabilityfortorture.com. David, is that the best place to get information on tomorrow's Torture Accountability Day?
That's the place.
accountabilityfortorture.com. Brad in for Malloy. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, in for Malloy, speaking with David Swanson of AfterDowningStreet.org and so many other places about Torture Accountability Action Day. Take action tomorrow, Thursday, June 25th. Go to Accountability, the number 4, Torture.com to find an event near you. Speak out, take action. Let's make some noise in this country and hope that someone covers it. And while I'm here, I'll also plug VelvetRevolution.us, my organization that I co-founded. We've got a campaign called Disbar, DisbarTortureLawyers.com, where we have petitioned about 12 different attorneys who were involved in these torture memos. We've petitioned the state bar associations where they are enrolled to basically disbar these attorneys, including Jay Bybee, who's now a federal judge, wrote one of the key torture memos. He's now a federal judge with a lifetime appointment. This guy needs to be disbarred. This guy needs to be impeached. Any thoughts, extra thoughts on that, David, before I get to these calls? Got a lot of them coming in.
Well, we did just see that the House can impeach a judge and made beautiful arguments for the necessity of impeaching judges with lifetime appointments when they can no longer properly serve. But, you know, it was for sex lies. Yet again, the only thing that anybody ever impeaches for in this country. And that, meanwhile, this guy, Jay Bybee, was not only John Yoo's boss, was not only the author and the authority figure and the signer of numerous torture memos, and 8 more of them that we know of that we haven't seen yet,
right,
but of a memo that gave every president here on out the quote-unquote legal authority to single-handedly launch aggressive wars. So, never, you know, I mean, it's all well and good to focus on this particular really relatively little war crime that we call torture. It's an absolute outrage. It's
little war crime that we prosecuted folks for, that we executed folks for.
I'm not making light of torture, but there are bigger crimes on the table here, and there are over a million dead bodies, and there's a connection in that much of the motivation for the key torturing of the mm-hmm. so-called key figures with the waterboarding and so forth was in order to generate false justifications for a war. Some of it after the fact, after we had gotten into Iraq, torturing people to gin up excuses for having gone into Iraq.
Yep. I want to get some callers before we lose you here, David. I invited people who disagree with us to give us a call. So let's hear from Howard in Paramus, New Jersey. What's up, Howard?
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call.
Happy to.
Thank you. I'm just trying to understand the logic. I'm listening, trying to look at all points of view. In 1941, obviously, the United States of America had to commit some pretty horrendous acts to defeat the Empire of Japan and defeat Germany, including, you know, bombing of civilian populations, especially cities like Dresden. But the intelligence at the time showed us that was what was necessary to stop Hitler and to stop him from maybe killing another 40 million people or 100 million people.
And your point?
And my point being, you know, with all the causes in the world and all the children that suffer and people dying of cancer and starvation around the world, that there seem to be a number of people like your guest who have taken up the cause of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and Abu Zubaydah and a very limited number of detainees.
And Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libi, who was tortured, was put into a box for 17 hours, buried alive, and forced to confess to a tie between Iraq and al-Qaeda that didn't exist. That sort of person you're talking about?
Well, I'm talking about a very limited number of people, where shortly after 9/11, you know, obviously there was concern there was going to be much more major attacks from groups like Al-Qaeda on the U.S.
Are you cool, Howard? If we just rob a few banks? Is that okay?
No, I think our policy now, and our policy has always been, that we do not torture. Now, obviously,
except when we do, Howard. Except when we do. And what if you were one of those few people? Would you be cool with the fact that we tortured you?
You know what? If I did what Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has done, which is kill 3,100 Americans and saw off the head of Daniel Pearl, I would have to accept the consequences. I mean, Saddam Hussein tortured thousands, if not millions, of his own people. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of bodies.
Yeah,
buried,
but we had nothing. But
we hear very, very little press about it, that he's picking up body pieces of 13-year-old girls who were raped by Uday Hussein.
Howard, we're still digging up body pieces of folks who we have bombed, up to more than 100,000 folks who are dead because we launched a war for completely specious reasons, and the evidence for which was gained under torture for folks who were innocent, who had nothing to do with Iraq, with Al-Qaeda, or anything else. Doesn't that make sense to you? Don't you understand that we put people to death for this after World War II? The Japanese who tortured, as a matter of fact, one of my bloggers at my blog, his father was tortured by the Japanese. Don't you give a damn, Howard?
Hundreds of thousands of Chinese. I mean, Nanking was one of the worst Holocaust ever, you know, to affect the world, perpetrated by the Japanese.
Moral relativism,
granted,
then.
You and I would probably agree that the human species needs to advance and not be violent to each other and not kill each other and treat each other humanely, and we would probably agree on 95% of issues about how humans should act in the
world. Thanks for your thoughts. I got to get out to a break, Howard.
I'd like to ask one more quick question.
Well, then hang on the line. I'll take you after the top of the hour. Hang on. David, any thoughts before I let you go here and all the callers here? We'll continue this into the next hour. We're going to have open lines. David, any thoughts in about 20 seconds? I'm sorry, sir.
Well, Brad, he's got a point that there are causes of huge numbers of deaths, but as you noted, this was one of them. We tortured innocent people in order to go in and kill a million people and destroy the rule of law against aggressive war and against torture. And our FBI and our military say that this torturing has caused the deaths of many of the kind of people Howard cares about.
David Swanson, check out accountabilityfortorture.com. Take action. Thanks, David. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Brad.
Much more after this. Stick with us. Stay on the lines.